Is the ability to communicate with the dead something that can be learned? Is it a skill that can be picked up or exercised and improved upon? Or do some people just have it and others don't? And those that don't need some sort of intervention or equipment or other person to be with them to deliver messages from the other side? It's a question I often ask in interviews on our other show, The Grave Talks. And opinions are oftentimes mixed. Some fully believe it's either there or it's not. Some believe it can be honed in on and improved or discovered even later in life. And others just say, no, not at all. It's kind of all over the board depending on who you talk to. But clearly some people have this ability. Some people, without a doubt, have a way of knowing things they otherwise would not, of communicating with people they otherwise could not. It's there. But sometimes you don't always want that there. Sometimes that's not exactly the sensory you want to have kind of always floating around in your head. Others embrace it. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 325, we're going to be talking about embracing that gift. Once where a child draws a picture of an entity that they witnessed, only to discover that their mother took the exact same photo. Then did a young woman's desire for paranormal activity eventually will it to manifest on its own? And yet one young woman accepts that she has this gift to communicate with the dead, but is kind of on the fence if she really is cool with that or not. Some great stories for you today in EPP bonus episode number 325 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Getting someone to believe that you have an entity in your home or your house is haunted is not always the easiest thing to do. Finding a like-minded community like this program has created is not common. It's not common that you're going to have your whole family on board. It's not common that you're going to have all of your friends on board. It's not common that you're going to have your whole workplace on board. If you were to say, look, I think the only way to explain what's happening here is something paranormal. Get a lot of raised eyebrows, and you know how that goes. In our next story, we hear about a mother and their child. The child is experiencing things, seeing things that are really completely unexplainable. Goes so far as to drawing a picture of what they're seeing to try and express to their family what it is they're seeing. Turns out, mom's already snapped the exact same picture. Not a drawing, but picture. Here's how all of that happens. Take a listen. I recently became a fan of yours this past week. Oddly enough, I'm a teacher, and one of my students during our online session told me I should share my demon ghost stories with your show that I tell them. I typically share my own and other encounters with the paranormal as rewards for my students. After listening to your amazing podcast on my nightly walks this past week, I decided to write you with my story my students enjoy hearing the most. I'll write other stories about my experiences with the paranormal another time. Here is the backstory for this story. When I was 7, my big sister, informally adopted into our family, moved in with a couple from our church named Dick and Nancy. They had a massive 2-story house about 20 minutes away from us and would rent rooms to college-age adults who wanted to attend the local community college about 5 minutes away from their home by car. My parents had just moved into our new house, one town over from where we previously lived. We've been staying in an apartment. My mom, our youngest sister, and I would go over to Dick and Nancy's house to swim and see our sister on weekends during summer to have lunch. I did not find out until I was older, but Dick and Nancy supposedly had a poltergeist that would move objects around the house. Dick and Nancy had one rule about the pool. Do not put wet towels on the back of the chairs in the sunroom. There was a sunroom with a table and 6 chairs that led out to the pool via a sliding glass door and connected to the house across from the kitchen and dining room area. While we were having lunch one day, my older sister came in furious that we had put the towels on the back of the chairs. Despite my mom's best effort to tell her we did not leave the towels on the back of the chairs, we left them outside lying on the concrete around the pool in the sun to dry, my sister still did not believe us. My mom's car keys and other belongings would not be in places we were sure we had left them. Instead, they'd be moved to the sunroom. This happened on a few occasions. A couple of months later, after the towels, Dick and Nancy went on a business trip. At the time, my sister would have been staying in the house alone by herself and felt uncomfortable doing so. So the night Dick and Nancy left, we went to the house to pick up some of her belongings, and she would come stay with us temporarily until Dick and Nancy returned from their trip. Their house was constructed weird in a way. When we walked down the driveway, the front door placed you on the 2nd story of the house. There were stairs you'd walk down on your right to get to the open living room, and directly behind that space was the kitchen area to the left and the door leading to the sunroom directly across from the kitchen. My sister went into the bathroom on the 2nd story to get her belongings. The house was pitch black, and I sat at the top of the stairs, my feet dangling between the posts, waiting for her. While she was in the bathroom, I heard the sound of the door creaking. It's creaking open. I was thinking it was my sister coming out, but it turned out when I turned around, the door was still shut. She was showering, as I could hear the water running. I turned back around trying to figure out where that sound was coming from, as I could still hear a door creaking open. Suddenly, the sunroom sliding glass door swung open, and a blinding light began to emit from the room. A figure emerged from the sunroom, floating towards the kitchen. I could barely make out the figure, but it did not appear to have legs. It looked almost like a ghost character represented in an anime or some sort of cartoon. Once it reached the kitchen, I saw it turn its face towards me. I could see piercing red eyes as it smiled in my direction, grinning a crimson red smile. After a couple of seconds, it began to slowly float back into the sunroom, looking and smiling at me the entire time. It felt like the Cheshire Cat smile. Once the figure re-entered the sunroom, the door slammed shut and the house was pitch black again. I jumped up as soon as I could, hoping if I stood still enough, the entity would not see me in the darkness on top of the stairs. The minute it disappeared, I wanted out of there. I began pounding the door, crying for my sister. She rushed out and began to console me, asking me what happened, checking to see if I was hurt or injured. Through the tears, I began to try to explain to her what happened, but could not muster the words yet. We grabbed the rest of her stuff and drove home. My sister gave me paper and some crayons and asked me to draw what happened. At a stoplight heading up the street to our new house, my sister saw the picture I'd made. Her skin color then faded. She raced up the street as fast as she could, grabbed the photo, me, and rushed us into the house. My mom greeted us, and my sister frantically began to tell her about what had happened at Dick and Nancy's. She showed my mom the picture. My mom grabbed me and asked if I was sure this was what I saw. I stood steadfast in my answer. She called my dad, who also looked at the picture, questioning me about the incident. At the time, I had no clue what my parents seemed so concerned about, which only made me feel more uncomfortable and fearful. I slept with my older sister every night in my room. The next day, our church's pastor came to our home and did a blessing for our home and our family. After that, we were no longer allowed to go to Dick and Nancy's. My older sister moved out almost immediately after the incident. It was not until I was older that I asked my mother about the incident, and she finally told me the full story. When we were living in the apartment complex, my youngest sister would get these mysterious bruises on her body. When they asked her about it, she would simply say things, "Did it to me." They believed it was toys or objects, but were not entirely sure. One day, my mother's friend from work came to our old apartment. When she entered, she got the chills and asked my mother if her kids are okay. My mother told her, yes, they're fine, but her coworker said, "I hate to tell you this, but something is hurting one of your kids, a girl." My mother, who never discussed the incidents with anyone in fear someone might call CPS and they cannot explain the bruises on my sister, my mother was bewildered and her heart sank in her chest. After that, she began taking pictures of my little sister, hoping to catch something, anything. She eventually did. In the process of moving out, my parents took photos of the apartment as proof of the condition the apartment was left in. They would take two photos of the same spot, and one of the photos near where my younger sister would play, a mysterious figure appeared on the photos. It had glowing red eyes and a red smile. They could not explain the figure as it did not appear on any other photos and did not appear on photos to the left or right of the space, but only on the two photos of that specific area. That's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest, become an extra podcast person. That's an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to not only the rest of this episode, but all of our EPP bonus episodes. Right now, 325 of them, new ones every single week, advanced episodes of the regular show, our ebook, our audiobook, so many extras you get when you become an extra podcast person of Real Ghost Stories Online. Please do sign up and check it out and help keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.